We will or have been are going to do a series on walking in freedom. And so I started the series last week and shared about why do we want to walk in freedom? How is it we can? I shared my testimony. And this week, walking in freedom, the title is The Battle for the Mind. The Battle for the Mind. So your mind, my mind, there is a battle on for our minds. I'm going to pray before I start, because actually it's, you know, the words of God from the Bible are powerful, but more than that, we want the Holy Spirit to do something in us, not just this morning, but as we go about our daily lives. Because the reality is, walking in freedom, it's not just a one-hit wonder. It's continually choosing to retrain our minds with the truth. It's continually choosing to believe there's power in the name of Jesus for our own walks into freedom. So I'm going to pray for us. Father, thank you that Holy Spirit, Jesus, thank you that you are here with us. Thank you that you are a God who transforms. You are a God who changes lives. And we long to be a people more and more like you. And I pray for us, Lord, if there are any more onion layers that need to come off in the next season, would you? We are surrendered. We long for more freedom. Holy Spirit, come, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Chains break. Addictions break. Trauma is healed. We just thank you that there is power in your name. There is freedom when we choose to walk with you. Holy Spirit, would you minister to us this morning in any area where we need to change the way we think? For your glory. For your glory, because we are your love letters to the world. That they look at us and they see a love letter written by Jesus to them. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, the battle for the mind. I actually quite like that picture, because that is a picture of someone's mind. And there is a battle for the lies that the world, that the enemy, that we tell ourselves, and the truth that Jesus actually speaks through his word. So, battle for the mind. So the battle is won or lost in the mind. Before we do anything, there is a thought process going on in our minds that we have to win the battle in. If we don't, it often will lead to possibly sinful behaviors, thoughts, stopping us from doing something or stepping out into something. The battle needs to be won in our mind. And the reality is, the way you think affects everything. It affects your hopes, your fears. It impacts the way you react to people, the way you speak to others, how you handle your job and its pressures. It impacts the way you raise your family, if you're a parent. It impacts the way you respond to singleness if you are single. The way we think, the way you think, it impacts every area of your life. In our spiritual life, we win or lose the battle in our mind before any action has taken place. So it's important, and it's really important, that we are not lazy or ill-disciplined about the area of our mind and our thinking. Because the reality is, when I shared last week, I shared an example of the years where I felt like I lived a bit like a whitewashed tomb. On the inside, I felt self-hatred and insecurity and pity and all sorts of battles. But on the outside, I presented well. People looked and they saw something that looked good, but they didn't know the battles going on in the mind. But Jesus does. And Jesus wants those to be healed, to be broken if they are strongholds, for the enemy's lies and the lies you've told yourself to be healed and transformed so you can be fully free to live your life the way he wants you to. He doesn't want those well-behaved people who actually on the inside are really giving in to sin, addictive behaviors, or anything else. He wants us to be authentic. He wants us to live with integrity. And the reality is that there is no shame in sharing about the battles we face. In fact, there's something powerful about bringing battles that we have faced in the past and in appropriate context that we are facing now into the light, because the enemy loses his hold on us. He loses that power of silence in darkness. And what I find is I've got a couple of friends, other women in my life, who when I know there's something going on that I need to share with, I will make sure I share with them. They don't judge me. They don't condemn me. They walk with me. They pray for me. And I find that accountability really helps. And I would encourage you to find, if you are men, some godly men who will stand with you. If you are women, some godly women who will stand with you, pray with you, and be with you as we are journeying. Because we will all be walking more and more into our freedom as we get older and older. And the day that we are fully free will be the day we see him face to face. So up until that day, we are expectant he will take off layers that have built up that aren't godly, that aren't good. And we need to be open to that. So a quote from Dave Holden. He writes this book called Battle for the Mind. I read it decades ago. It was phenomenal. It changed my thinking. And if you think I was someone who could barely speak in public, lived with a lot of battles in my mind, this book, as well as prayer and some counseling, is part of the reason that I was able to get some good discipline in my mind for how I think and how I capture my thoughts. David Holden says this. I've put Dave Holden because that's what, but David Holden. The word of God is absolutely clear. It is vital that as Christians, we change the way we think. The Bible says it is essential if we are to live victorious Christian lives. We should be in no doubt about the vital role our minds have in shaping us as people. The mind is key. The way we think is key. It's so key. And that doesn't mean we get it right every time, but be aware of the thoughts that you are having. And also, if you notice, so just say you have a battle with anger or a battle with escapism and it leads to drinking to escape or, I don't know, what escapism through fantasy movies, through pornography, through drugs, whatever it is, be aware in your mind before you even take or choose any of those routes, there is something that has triggered a thought or something that has been triggered in your heart that is leading to you choosing one of these things. And sometimes we can think, oh no, it's just because it's a habit I've got into. Maybe a little bit. But often there is something that has caused that thinking and that feeling I need to escape to come into our heads. Find it, catch it, hold it. It's crucial. It impacts us. It's how the enemy wins, by telling us, oh, you don't really have the thought first. No, the thought comes and then the action or the sin happens. Romans 12, 1 to 3. I love verse 2. I love the whole, well, Romans is just full of such good truth. But I love verse 2. I'm going to read it to you and I'm going to read verse 2 again. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. This gospel, Jesus transforms us by the renewing of our minds. And then we can test God's perfect will for us. But for those who are battling anxiety or fear or, you know, things in our heads, the truth is part of how we are. The truth is what transforms us. But there are other things as well to support it. But you don't need to stay in that place. That place of battle is not what he has for us. He's got peace. He's got joy. He's got contentment. Those are real fruit. They're not something out there. They are real things we live with. That doesn't mean the battle stops. But there is real peace, joy, contentment, and freedom in the gospel. Okay, I wanted to make this clear. Renewing the mind is not the same as positive thinking. Positive thinking is about looking at a problem in a different way. And we live, because of the world we live in, it's all about positive thinking. Think positively and it's going to change the situation, or it's going to change how you walk. And it's almost like, it's like the world has picked bits of the truth and they've tried to kind of make it their own, keeping Jesus out of it. But positive thinking is not the same as renewing the mind. And that's really, really important that we know that. It's not like you're facing a situation and you're like, it's going to change. It's going, come on, situation, change. Come on, stop being scared. Well, I'm going to get out there and do this. I'm not going to be scared. It's what the world tells us works. Now, don't hear me wrong. I love positive thinking in a sense. I like to look at things and look at the bright side of things. But that is not renewing our minds. It is not the same, okay? Renewing our mind with the truth, the word of God. Renewing our mind with the truth is about allowing the truth from God's word to transform us from the inside out. The problem or situation may not always change, but we come to it with the truth. And that doesn't mean you won't have the battles, but we come to the battle with the truth. So imagine that you are working and your job is going to be made redundant, and your whole significance came from the fact that you had this job. The reality is, no matter how much everyone prays, that might not change. It might. God could change the circumstances. But the reality is, the Bible tells us our significance is in Christ. It's in who he says we are, not in the jobs that we do. And it's really important that we understand that, because otherwise we think a title or a position or other things are where we get our significance. And actually, our significance comes from Christ. I have this analogy. So all of us know there are potholes on the road leading up to the church. Those of us who drive here regularly, our cars have worn and torn and the feel of those potholes. Positive thinking would be like filling those potholes with sand or with gravel, something that would temporarily cover over the surface of what the real problem is. Renewing our minds takes time, it takes hard work, it takes real, real kind of, you know, you've got to be really focused and you've got to be disciplined. And it means not just covering it with the holes with sand or gravel, cutting out the holes, filling them up with the right things. Now, I have no idea what they did, but John spent ages telling me, so I'm sure it took ages. But in the same way, renewing our minds takes time. And we don't want the quick fix. Sometimes we pray for circumstances to change, and God changes them. But sometimes God allows those circumstances because he wants to do something in us. And for us to get the right perspective is to stand on the truth, not allowing the circumstances we face to be what determine how we think, how we feel, how we think more. I think circumstances can determine how we feel, but how we think. So, renewing our mind with the truth, that's just so important. Identifying the lies. I have listed some lies. There are many, many more. I have put some of our current day pressures living in the UK at this time. Materialism. The more I have, the more I can get, the safer I will feel, the more secure I feel. Whereas Jesus says he is our security. We're not unprotected. He provides. Permissiveness. That's literally, our culture says, it's okay to just be with, sleep with whoever we want. It's okay, in fact, to watch pornography. It's okay to, that is what our culture says. And we are not of this world. We are, do not conform, in fact. And it's hard to change all of that, but there's this permissiveness. Just go, do what feels good for you. But that's not what the Bible says. We stand on the truth of what the Bible says. Passivity, not speaking up when actually we should be speaking up. I had a very interesting, I was at an interesting training afternoon for teachers. It wasn't a training one, but they are putting out a new RE curriculum, and I got to go and be part of the group, just kind of seeing what it is and commenting on it. And I noticed there was about 40 of us in the room. I think one lady, other Asian lady, and she was clearly Muslim, me, and then other teachers from around Luton. So mostly white British people in the room. And I found it fascinating, passivity, such a cultural thing. So we were reading through one of the year group's Bible verses. They were talking about places of worship. They had the mosque, they had they had a Buddhist temple or a temple, and then they had the church. And then I read the quote with my head teacher sitting next to me, and I was just reading through it, and she points out to me, oh, look, the one on Christianity is negative. And I'm thinking, and it's written out of context. It's not right. So then I tell our table, thinking, okay, everyone on this table I know, they're all secular, but someone's going to say something. Everyone sat there. And I just thought, this is ridiculous. Of course, I didn't just sit there. I put my hand up. I have a few things to say about this. And I did. But I thought, our culture is, let's not offend. And, you know, there was one other Muslim lady. Everyone else, it seemed, was set no faith at all. So then I put my hand up, and I really did. They did ask me to join the team. I said, no, thank you. I've got enough on my plate. But I made a point of saying it's out of context. Christianity is portrayed in a negative way. This isn't okay. And then suddenly people around me were like nodding. And I'm thinking, hang on a minute. I've got my head, oh, I better, just in case she's listening. But anyhow, I had people of significance around me and nobody, that's our culture. But we're not called to be passive. We're not called to be condemning, accusing. We're called to bring love, but to be voices of light in the context where he puts us. Fear. Fear is massive. Fear is a massive one. Fear, and one of them I think that I found really hard in my, with myself, was fear of man. What will people think? What will people think, in fact, if I said the wrong thing? What would people think if, like, just what will people think? It's massive. And we don't even fully always realize we're doing it. But actually, if you've got something to bring on a Sunday and you don't bring it, ask yourself why. What is stopping you? And the other thing, which I just found fascinating, when I used to come up and bring what I had to the anchor. And I was sharing it with Karen this morning. And I remember that one of the early days of bringing prophetic words, I brought it up to the anchor, and the anchor said, oh, it's not quite right for now. And I remember I went back to my seat full of shame and condemnation. And the reality was, the anchor was absolutely right. But the enemy and my own lies were, oh, how embarrassing. How shameful. You got it wrong. I felt really condemned. But that is the lies of the enemy. Now, if I bring a word and it's wrong, okay, let's weigh it together. It doesn't matter. It doesn't define me. Mistakes are mistakes. We learn from them. And we trust those leading us. Okay, let me just check. Oh, gosh. Oh, my goodness. There's a whole load of lists there. I'm not going to go through them. Independence, thinking you don't need others. You don't need God. Fear, cynicism, parental expectations. You know, you might be from me. Education is a blessing from God. I'm from a culture, Sri Lankan culture, like most of my family are doctors or lawyers or accountants or engineers. And then they ask me what I do and I kind of smile. Some saved, some not. I used to say, oh, I'm a teacher. Now I kind of got to get over that and be like, oh, I work for a church. Then they look at all my cousins who are doctors and all of. But it's funny, isn't it? Parental expectations. Thank you, Jesus, my parents got saved. Thank you that they were free to us to be whoever we wanted to be. One thing with this that I wanted to say, as you are thinking through the thoughts that you have, whatever they are to do with, the wrong thoughts, the wrong thinking, you've got to find not just any truth, but the right truth to kind of combat the lie, if that makes sense. So take every thought captive and stand on the truth. I'm just going to read, feel free, it's 2 Corinthians 10, 2 to 5, read through it yourself. I'm going to read from 3 to 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. The word of God has divine power to demolish strongholds in our thinking. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Be diligent about catching your thoughts. Be diligent about recognizing what causes the thoughts to come into our head. I went a bit overboard then. Sorry, guys, the clicky thing doesn't always like me. Okay, we've decided, yeah, here we go. Take every thought captive and stand on the truth. Replacement, not removal. You know, some people, like, the world's way of meditating is empty your mind of everything. Empty your mind of everything. That's not what we're saying. We're saying replace the lie with the truth. Amen. Replace the lie that you've been believing in your head, or the enemy has put, or the world has taught you. Replace that lie with the truth. The tricky thing is when you have thought that lie through for a long, long and believed it for years and years, it's like a tractor that has made track marks in your mind. They are deep tracks that is the familiar way to travel. But it's really important that we speak the truth and hold the truth and allow the truth to change the track that our mind goes on. If your natural thought is, I am not good enough, or I have nothing to contribute, who am I in the body? Then you hold the truth, get the truth of what God says and change the way that you think. Capture it and speak the truth. Concentrate on the truth and not the problem. Okay? So the Bible is clear. We exchange the wrong thoughts and we speak the truth. And in Philippians 4, it says, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, set your mind on those things. So as we speak the truth over ourselves, can I remind us that the Bible isn't passive? You're not just speaking some words. You're speaking the words of God and the promises of God and the truth of God, and whatever the circumstances tell us, that is what we are standing on. Oh gosh, really gone over time. Battle for the mind, things to support us with the battle for the mind. One thing, expose the issue. Be accountable. That's so important. I genuinely want to say, find friends you trust who are not going to judge you or condemn you. That's not what church is about. We're about loving each other and helping each other walk into our freedom. And that's what we should have, these friends that help keep us accountable. Pray about and ask others to discern what is the root of the wrong thinking. Now, it could be trauma that you've experienced, abuse you've experienced, some other sort of a difficulty, life circumstances, the way your parents spoke to you. It could be any number of things. But it's always important to identify what the root is, because otherwise, again, it's just being a bit like a whitewashed tomb. On the inside, things are dying, but on the outside, you present well. Get some prayer ministry. Come and speak to me. Come and speak to someone on the leadership team, and there is prayer available. So for some of this, actually, because of the depth of what someone might have experienced, it might be that there is a need for some spiritual freedom in terms of breaking demonic or other things, and you just need some people to be praying with you. Counseling. So we saw the notice about Rob's counseling group. Actually, counseling is a great way to process some of what has happened to different ones of us, especially if you've experienced trauma. And I did write down, Rob, the name of what your one was, but if you know that you would like some extra support through some counseling, speak to Rob. There are others in the church as well. It is so worth it. So worth it to talk through and process with someone outside. There's such a stigma about getting counseling. I think it's brilliant. Let's use all the tools that are available to help us walk into our freedom. Finally, be full of the Holy Spirit. Be full of the Holy Spirit. Each one of us will have different experiences of Him. But not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Holy Spirit is with us when we worship together. But when you spend time praying and worshiping at home, He is with us then too. We need Him. We need Him.